at the bottom of Peitena Mudbet, just to chazer over where we are, the Gemara at this point says, Amar Yehuda Marav made a statement that a person cannot keep inaccurate rates, weights in their house. And then the Gemara brought a brisa that supports that position, that one may not keep inaccurate weights in their house. And within the context of the brisa, the brisa lays out what are the proper measurements or proper weights that one should use. So it's two, four lines down from the bottom. It says, Tanya Nami Hochiv of a brisa that suggests similarly. Lo Yishe Adam Yidach Hasira Yitira B'toch Beito. A person may not keep an inaccurate weight in his house. Afil Hi Avicho Mei Raglaim, if it's a urinal. Because we're afraid he's going to wash it out and then bring it back and use it. So we don't want that to happen. Avala Sehu, what can he make? So he can have a Sa'a, right? A tarkav which is three kav, it's tray plus a kav is three kav, v'chatzi tarkav, which would be right 1.5 kav, then a kav itself, then you have a chatzi kav, a half a kav, a rova, which would be a quarter kav, then you have a toman, which will go with the Rashbam's interpretation here that it's 1/8 of a kav. Then we have a chatzi toman, half a toman would be 1/16 of a kav. And then we have an uchla. Now, an uchla, the Gemara is going to ask in 1 second what that is, but it basically comes out to be 1/20 of a kav. So, bakamuhi uchla. What is a uchla? So, Gemara says, echad mechamisha berviya. It's probably the girsa of the Rashbam, which helps make it more sense. It's probably berova. So, it's echad mechamisha berova. Rova would be rova hakav. Right? Rova hakav is that each kav contains within it four log. Right, each kav has four log in it. So a rova hakav would be a single log. Now a single log has six beitza. Single log has six beitza in it. So if I tell you 1/5 of a log, right, 1/5 of a log means 6/5 or 1.2, 1 1/5, right, beitza. So that's what it would end up being. It would be 1 1/5 beitza. And if we go backwards to the kav, it would be 1/20 of a kav. If you have a, right, log that is, we're talking about 1/5 of a log, right? Basically, then you're talking about it at every kav has four log, then you're talking about 1/20 of a kav. So if you look here on the sheet that I gave you, first of all, on top, I don't know, people have different ways of looking at things, makes it easier for them. There's a famous acronym for those that it's called Kas Kalav Yagodu, which is a way to lay out the different dry measurements of Chazal. You can see over there, it's Kure Fasa Kav Log Bitza, and then you go to is the conversion rates for each of them, that each kura is 10 eifa, each eifa is 3 sa'a, each sa'a is 6 kav, kav 4 lug, a lug is 6 beitza. So that's just a way to look at it. If you look, what we've just discussed, or what this brisa just presented to us, were the midot ha-yavish, right? These are dry measurements for dry goods. The measurements for dry goods, and you can see over here, we laid them out on the right side, on the bottom here, on the right side, these are the measurements that we just looked at, which are a sa tarkav, a chatzit tarkav, a kav, a chatzit kav, a rova kav, a toman, a chatzit man uchla. And then you can see in the kav, you laid out those measurements, right, in kabin, lugin, and beitza, but in kabin. Now the Gemara is going to move over and say, okay, we midat alach, this is brisa, in liquid measures.
It's pshita. I mean, what do you mean? The Gemara tells me these are things I can have. Any measurement I want. As long as it's
miduyah. No, so that's not true. So that's what we're going to see in a second. That isn't true. All right, midat alach who will say
when it comes.
Right, that's the problem. Right, so yeah, they have to keep it in a fixed range, otherwise there are problems because people can cheat. Midat alach who will say. So when it comes to liquid measurements, he makes a hin. So a hin, well, that we know from the Torah, a hin is 12 lug. So if you look in the chart, that's equal to on the dry goods measurements, that's equal to a tarkav. And a tarkav, which is 3 kav. Equals 12 lug, and a hin is also 12 lug. So you have a hin. Then you have a chatzi hin, right? These come from the nesachim. Right? The nesachim we learned it yesterday, right? You have a chatzi hin, a shlishit hin, or a viyat hin, right? So a chatzi hin would be 6 lug, right? 6 lug would be the equivalent of a chatzi tarkav, right? I mean, half a tarkav would also be a chatzi hin. So that would work out to be the same dry to liquid measures. Then you have a shlishit hin, which actually would be 4 lug, right? That 4 lug would be equivalent to a kav. Right? Then you have a revi'itahin. Revi'itahin would be 3 log. Right? That 3 log is equivalent to nothing on the dry measure side. Then you have a velog. You have a log. Right? And that log is equal to a rova kav. right, which we just discussed before. Rova kav is a log, so that'd be a log. Then you have a chetzi log, right, and a chetzi log would be parallel to a toman. Toman, which is 1/8 of a kav, would be equal to a chetzi log. Then you have a revi'ita log, right, a quarter log, which would be equal to chetzi toman. And then you have a shminit, right, an eighth of a log, right, which has no equivalent on the dry goods side. And then we have echad mishmona bishminit, right? So echad mishmona bishminit would be 1/64th, right? Of question is what bishminit? So it's probably it's a shminit, right? When you're coming down, mishmona bishminit is 1/8 of a shminit of a kav. So when you do that in log, that turns out to be 1/16th of a log. It's 1/16th of a log, which is equivalent to 1/64th of a kav. So it's echad mishmona bishminit, which the Gemara says v'zehu kortuv. In the liquid measurements, that's called a kortuv, right, which is a chatzi shminit.
It's interesting that now that this measurement goes back to Midot HaYavesh.
Right. It uses a term from Midot HaYavesh. It's called kortuv in the liquid measurements, but it's using a...
No,
it's a shminit, right. The girsa, that's a good question. The girsa of the Rashbam is different. The girsa of the Rashbam is chatzi shminit. Girsa of the Rashbam is chatzi shminit. That chatzi shminit would be 1/16th. Which would be, like you're saying, follow the liquid measurements. The way we have it phrased in our brace, it looks like chad mishmona bishminit would seem to be that it's referencing the kav. And then it says kortov, which is the liquid measurement, and it's matching up between the liquid and the dry measure. That might be why the girsa of the Rashbam is chatzi shminit, which continue the liquid measures. It'd be have it, which would be a 1/16th of a log. So anyway, you have them laid out over here, the dry measures and the liquid measures, and they're basically running mostly along a parallel line over here. So now the Gemara asks. Yes, revi'it aluk is the standard revi'it of the Gemara. V'la avid nami kavayim. So based on what David says, I mean, why do we have to skip from we have 6 kav, 3 kav, and then 1.5 kav? Why not have a 2 kav measure? That would be nice to have a 2 kav measure in there. So Gemara says, why don't we throw it in? Gemara says, atele chufe b'tarkav. The problem is that you're going to mix it up with the tarkav, which is 3 kav. So we don't want something that's too close to another measure, because if it's too close to another measure, you're going to mix it up. Now, mix it up is not an accidental mix-up. Mix it up means that someone's going to intentionally mix it up and pass it off, right, as a 2 kav. Someone's going to take a 2 kav and pass it off as a, right, 3 kav. So we don't want that. So Alma. So Gemara says from this you conclude, to inche tilta. The people make a mistake by a third or 30, right, by really should be 33%. Yeah. Right, right, you have milabar. 33% milabar, because what? You had 3 tarkav, and then you have 2. So that's milabar, that's 33%, 33 and a third percent differential. So people are making a mistake up to that amount. Gemara says, right, wait a minute, we have a kav over here. And a kav, right, dalute, atele chufi b'chatzi tarkav. We have a kav versus a chatzi tarkav. And that kav versus the chatzi tarkav is 33 and a third percent, right? It's a 1/3 differential also. It's 1.5 to 1. So how could you make a kav versus a chatzi tarkav if you can't make kabayim versus a tarkav? Where it says, ela kabayim hainu taima dolavid. Now the problem with kabayim is not because of the tarkav, but rather, ta'atel chupi b'chatzi tarkav. The problem is not mixing it up with the tarkav, which is too far away. That's 33 and a third percent away. The problem is what? The problem is that there's a chatzi tarkav below it, which is 1.5. So now, so that's what the Gemara says here. Listen, okay, you're right. 2 to 3, nobody gets mixed up in, because if you're going to have to worry about 2 to 3, you're going to also have to worry between 1 and 1.5. So now what we're talking about here is the mix-up is between 1.5 and 2. So mix-up between 1.5 and 2 is amatei inche riba. The people make a mistake by a quarter, right? 25% is a reasonable mistake, meaning once you get within 25% of the other weight, people cannot differentiate, cannot discern between the weights. They can't discern between the weights, right? Now we have a problem of the possibility of people cheating. So between the 1.5 and the 2, we don't want to do that. So Gemara says, Yehochi, if that's the case, I have something else which is much closer. Now, just before we get to what the Gemara says is closer, the Rashbam also points out the reason that there is no chatzi revi'ita hin. Why is there no, in the liquid measurements, right, there's no chatzi revi'ita hin like we have in the, right, in the dry measurements, we go tarkav, chatzi tarkav, kav, chatzi kav. So along the way, why don't we have all these half measurements that would come out, right, meaning that we have shlishita hin, and then we have half of that which is 2 lug, right, and then we have a revi'ita hin, We don't have a half of that, which would be 1.5 log. Why don't we have that? So the Rashbam says exactly that problem. Because 1.5 log will get mixed up with, right, the 2 log. If you get mixed up with the 2 log, because you're within 25%, you're within a riv'ah, right, of the 2 log. So therefore, there is no 1.5, there is no chatzi rivit ahin.
Which one is 2 log?
What?
Which one is 2 log?
It's the chatzi kav. Chatzi kav is half a kav, and which is equivalent to also to 2 log.
That's dry measure.
Right, in the dry measures, but you could use in the liquid measure, there is no 2 log. There is no 2 log in the dry measures. But it'll get mixed up with the chatzi kav.
Even though one is a
liquid
measure and one is a
dry measure. Right, although it seems to me that they can be used interchangeably here. Revi'it tahin in the Rashbam. Ayin or shlosha logim, v'adu la'vi logim. That's what the Rashbam. The Rashbam says that he thinks that they would mix it up with a chatzikav, which was 2 lugin, and he would get mixed up with that. And therefore they didn't make such a measure, because you could pass it off as a, right, you mix up, you pass it off as a chatzikav, which would cause problems. So now the Gemara says, wait a minute, we have another measure here, two units that are much closer together. Yochi chatzi toman is a 1/16 of a kav, and an uchla, which is 1/20 of a kav, lo le'avid, because that's the closest we've seen any two measures. They're within 1/5, within 20% of each other. So this, by the way, is one of the proofs that the Rashbam used to show that a toman is actually a 1/8 of a kav. So my focus is whether it's 1/8 of a lug or 1/8 of a kav. He says if it's 1/8 of a lug, right, then they're not anywhere near being within 20% of each other. That's not the issue. It's the fact that the Gemara asks about the, right, the lug, and then a chatzi lug would have been 1/16, would have 1/64 of a kav, be nowhere near being within that context. That's why the Rashbam learns that it's 1/8, when he says a toman, it's 1/8 of a kav, because that's the only way you can get the chatzi toman to be so close to a uchla. So the answer is, well, we have it within 20%. That's less than, I mean, that the Gemara says you'll make a mistake up once you get up to two.
The word Tamah, I mean, Tamah is 1/8.
Right, from Tamnia. Right, so it's 1/8. Yeah, but it could be 1/8 of a lug or 1/8 of a calf. I mean, both of them agree that it's 1/8. It's a question of 1/8 of what?
But in the order, it seems like it's gone.
Right. So that is also interesting about the girsa here. There might be, if you look in other places, the girsa above, we had a girsa, and the girsa seems to be mixed up a little bit up above. And that we had a girsa in the liquid measures above, that then with the hin, and they went in, and it had a chatzi log, a revita log, and then a chatzi toman. So in that case, those people are going to say that chatzi toman can't be a revita log or a shminita log, because we already had those. Right? Those numbers are already there, so how could it be a revita log? But if you look at other gemaras, this gemara is cross-referenced, if you look at it in Bava Metzia, the Gemara shows up, that Mishnah Braisa shows up in Bava Metzia. When you look it up in Bava Metzia, it does not have the Toman and the Chatzi Toman. It only has the Revi'it Log and the Chatzi Log and Revi'it Log. So there might be a Girsa issue that forced other people to say otherwise. Alright, now, the Gemara says, so what are you going to do with Chatzi Toman and Uchla? They're within 20%. We say people make a mistake up to, up to 25%. I mean, 30% is too far away, or a third is too far away. 25% is too close for comfort. Because 25%, people will make mistakes in discerning between them. Now you're here at something that's 20% away. So that's 20% away, your people are going to definitely make mistakes. So now here comes the differential. Omar Papa, midot ktanot bikei buhinche. People know small measures. When it comes to small measures, I don't know if it's because of the frequency of usage, which means that, the cooking in the house and doing things in the house, you're going to use these measures. So everybody's aware, or, functionally they're always in use for people, and therefore they know about them. Or that once you get down to smaller measures, people have interacted with them, and therefore they know them. Whereas these large measures are something that is used by, wholesalers, retailers, things that are not necessarily used by everyday people, not that they use them frequently, but they never interact with them. Since they never interact with them, they don't know them as well. But here, since they interact with these measures, they will know them. So therefore, in that case, we don't have to worry about that closeness between a 1/16 and a 1/20. So now Gemara says, wait a minute, if you're going to do that.
I think it's more with the small measures. With the large measures, people also use them all the time, but they also estimate more. They don't need to be so exact. People use small measures. If you need a teaspoon or a half a teaspoon of baking powder, it's going to make a big difference. You know how to identify. Or if you're buying something in a small measure, you're buying something that's expensive, and you already zero.
So you mean on a smaller measure, people can be more discerning,
yeah,
because it's either more expensive or it's more right? It's more the being off is a larger right mistake than being off in a large one. So now the Gemara says also, okay, fine, you want to do that. What about shlishita hin or revita hin, lo David? How come you have a shlishita hin and revita hin? A shlita hin and revita hin are four lug and three lug. Four lug and three lug are off by 25%, and we just said before that you make a mistake. When it comes to 25% differentials, people do make a mistake. So if they make such a mistake, then how did you allow shlishita hin and revita hin? Where it says, kevin dehavu b'migdash, lo gozru b'han b'hu rabbanan. So Gemara says, all right, because they were in the Mikdash, meaning that the Torah demands that you have a Shlishita and a Revita, and you need them for the Nesachim. You need them for there. So Gemara says, B'Mikdash, right, Nami Ligzor. All right, the reason that you're saying we're not Gozer is because they use them in the Mikdash. Well, why not make a Gzera in the Mikdash not to use them? Oh, you ask me, well, then how do you get Nesachim? Right, so you use a log. Right, exactly. Very good. Use a log, and you have to pour it. You know, get three logs separate, and four logs separately, instead of doing it in one shot. So Gemara says, Kohanim Zvizimim. In the Mikdash, we don't have to make such a distinction, because Kohanim are Zvizimim, therefore they're not going to mix them up, they're not going to make mistakes with them. Now, once the measurements already been used in the Mikdash, the Gemara felt that, or the Chamim felt that it was okay to have them in use in the common public, because they were either known measurements again or something. And it'd be strange, the Mikdash has these units of measure, and then the, you say to the public, you can't use these units of measures, people kind of mix them up. So either because it'll look. It was a measurement, but I'm not. The Torah doesn't command you to have a cup that is a shlishita hin. Right, it tells you that you must get to that number. And how you get to that number, the Torah doesn't tell you how to do that. So meaning, in the end, the Kohanim's Vizimheim means that we don't worry about it in the Mikdash. Once we don't worry about the Mikdash, then you have to ask the question, why don't we worry about it in the general public? Either because they use it in the Mikdash, therefore it'd be look a little bad if they start being gozer in the public versus in the Mikdash, or because if it was in use actively in the Mikdash, the people were also aware of the Shlishita and Revita. Right? It was a common usage, and therefore, it's probably not the most... Probably not the best answer. I think the Chachamim are trying to have a system of measurements that's functional, and people are able to use them without also bumping into things, eliminating things like Shlishita and Revita, which were almost like necessary. Not that that have to be, but were really necessary units, and therefore they have to explain it away. All right. So now, Amar Shmuel. Shmuel makes a mistake. Makes a statement. Ein mosifim al midot yoter mishtut, v'lo al metzbea yoter mishtut. Right? So now three statements by Shmuel. One is that if you're going to expand the measurements, meaning that the volume that is contained within a measure, if you're going to expand what volume is contained within inside of it, you may not expand it beyond a sixth. I mean, 1/6 is the cap on expansion at any given time. Not that over multiple periods of time you can do more. But in any given change in the measurements, you can only do 1/6. I was going to ask why. Right, number two is that you can't, also by coinage, you can't expand the coin more than a six, which might be a derivative of the same problem.
And the weight of the coin?
Yeah, the weight of the coin would go up. The size of the coins or the weights of the coins would go up, that they'd have more value. But Mr. Gare, and here is a profit margin that one has, should not be more than a shtut, should not be more than 1/6. So the profit margin that one takes over here is not more than a six. Now, it's interesting that the Rashbam, in explaining this, that ayistaker, yoter mishtut, right, here he explains the principle is basically that we say that a merchant or a chenvani that buys things, then he's allowed to sell it. You know, he buys in large quantities, and then he breaks down and sells it, you know, in smaller quantities. So he shouldn't take more than a sixth. He says this all assumes that the market price did not move. Yeah, he can charge, right? He can charge 1/6 above his cost. That's basically it. He has it's a cost plus. Cost plus 1/6, that's his profit. That's what he's allowed to charge. But if he took it, bought it, meaning at harvest time, and then afterwards prices went up, I mean the market prices went up, then he can make profit. He can even make double what he did when he bought it back at the government, right? Based on the current marketplace. Oh, the Chamim said that the Tachanah Chamim is that you can't get more than a ayistaker yoter, that he can't get more. I mean that he shouldn't be in excess of the shar, right? He shouldn't be, I guess, in excess of the shar, or he shouldn't be in excess of his costs. So it would be basically the higher of, right, 1/6 above his costs, right, or the what would be the current market price of the item. amazing because the Gemara in general is very consumer friendly, and here we have something that's very, very buyer friendly in the sense that, right, we're allowing him to take a significant profit as long as he's within the market range.
It's still consumer friendly. You're not letting him take advantage of the consumer.
He can't move the market up, basically, what you're saying is he can't move the market up. If the market moves up, then he's able to. Right, this is very interesting from a free market standpoint. That here all it does is it protects the margin of the buyer, but it limits the margin, but also protects his margin. But then if it goes up higher, he doesn't have to then sell below market at that point in time. He can sell at the market and not lose out on that he happened to be, as you said, he bought it at a suspicious time and he was able to get the market increase. All right, so now. The Gemara says, "Imosifin al midot yoter mishtut." You can't add on to the midot more than a sixth. My time, what's the problem? So if it's because we're afraid of pricing, I would have said originally it was he's pushing price gouging, or we're afraid of moving up. The way the Ashram explains it is that we're afraid that it's going to move the market price up. Meaning that what ends up happening is that they increase the quantity that is found in the measurements. So now they have to increase the price to be commensurate with the increase in the measurement. So if you increase the measurement, say you increase the measurements by 50%, they'd have to increase the price by 50%. But what ends up happening is that they increase the price by 75%, and they increase the measurements by 50%. So Fuketar is afraid that the price will not move up commensurate to the measurements, but exceed the increase, because as soon as pricing goes up, it goes up more than the increase in the actual quantity that's been added here. So Gemara says, "Shtut Amilov." If that's a problem, then that means that any quantity movement here should be problematic. If it's really if that's the issue, right? I mean, if the issue is a shtut. I mean, the issue is that we're afraid that your price will increase when you move the quantity up, then even moving up at the quantity of shtut should be a problem. Ella, mishum ona. It's very interesting. It's a problem of ona. Ona, we know, it goes up to a sixth. So what's the problem here? The problem is lavi bitul mekach. The problem is that you're going to have transactions that go on. Anytime you convert to a new measurement or a new system, they're going to be people who don't know or are not aware of the fact that they moved on to the new system. So if you're not aware of going on to the new system, there's a chance that you're either using the old weights, you're using the old weights and the new price, right? Or they're using the old price and the new weights. Either way, what we want to make sure is that the differential between the old system and the new system is no more than a sixth. Why? Because then it will be within ona'a. It will be within the framework of not being bitul mekach. So therefore, even if there's a mistake made, it won't be a problem of ona'a. Now, it's interesting that when we discussed the issue of ona'a, right, there were two ways to look at ona'a. We had the Rush who suggested that ona'a up to a sixth was basically the difference between people who came. People who looked at two items would assess the value within that range. That's a range that's a normal mistake between parties. So therefore, up to a sixth is not a sur, because that's a normal mistake. Once you got to a sixth and above, that became beyond the range of where normal two parties would make a mistake or have a differential in value. Right? They wouldn't disagree. They would start to disagree. I mean, if they disagreed at that point, it's too big a gap. Because the Ramban, Ala Torah, and others clearly state that the onah is an isur at any amount. No matter what you charge in onah, it's an isur. Just from a monetary standpoint, there's mechila. From a monetary standpoint, there's mechila under a sixth. And above a sixth, there is no mechila. So the isur exists even below a sixth. So over here in the Gemara is saying that here we want to protect the transaction from going beyond what is onah. Now if you think onah is an isur all the way from the bottom, then what do you mean a sixth? Why does it matter if it's a sixth or not a sixth? There's always an isur. It sounds more like the Rush, that if you're within a reasonable differential in price, that's not considered onah. And that's why this Gemara sounds a little more like the Rush. Now, Gemara says, wait a minute. Wait a minute, when you deal with quantitative measures, items that are measured exactly, whether that is, you know, volume, distance, right, that have exact measures, there's no such thing as ona'ah. I mean, ona'ah is something where you can have a differential, again, where you're looking at and estimating some sort of value over here. Over there, you can say a person's mochel because you can never get it exact. But if you're measuring exactly, nobody's going to be mochel.
Right. I'm not going to be
exactly. So people are not mochel when they know or they're buying a fixed quantity or a fixed volume, because there they expect to get that volume. So Gemara says, "Ela dola habi pseida l'tagra." So the Gemara says, no, no, the problem here is that we don't want the merchant to lose money. Why? Because what is he allowed to, what's his profit margin? His profit margin is a sixth. So if his profit margin is a sixth, if we move the midot up and he makes a mistake, he won't, at least he won't lose money. Right? So the Gemara says, at least he won't lose money, he'll break even if he makes a mistake here. So the Gemara says, so he says, okay, great, he won't lose money, but he's going to make no profit now. If he makes this mistake, he won't make any profit. The Gemara says, someone who buys and sells, right? Someone who buys and sells is called a merchant. I mean, a person doesn't buy and sell just to be called a merchant and break even. He's there to make profits. So if we move the midot up and we wipe out his profit margin, then how could it be? So the Gemara says, El Amarav Chista Shmuel Kro Ashkach V'Dorash. She came out of a pasuk. It's a pasuk that teaches us the shtut. In the end, the answer really is, yes. The problem of a sixth, or the issue of a sixth, is about a tagra. We don't want merchants to lose money. If we move it up a sixth, they will break even. What about the fact that they're not going to make a profit? So Ein Ochanami, the pasuk teaches you that you're allowed to move up a sixth, even though some merchants, in this instance, will lose out for a short period of time. They will not have a profit margin. Okay, in the next, you know, meaning that it only happened once that they make the mistake. After they mistake once, they'll know better, and then they will not break even this time. They'll make money the next time. So that's why. But what's the source? That's the pasuk in Yechezkel. It says that shekel is 3 megera, that the shekel is 20 gera. It's a machlokas over here between the Tosafot, you see, and the Rashbam, and the Rashi, about why we know that a shekel is actually 24 gera, not 20 gera. So when did that change? Rashi claims that changed at the time of the Gemara. The Gemara actually was Hosif, and that's why a shekel is then worth 24 gera. The Ri suggests over here that it happened in Yechezkel's time. That's exactly what the Gemara is going to say, that it was increased to shtut, and that's what happened over here. But, all right, leaving either of those, that's not important to our Gemara right now. But you have a shekel that's a srim gera. Then it says, 20 shekel, 25 shekelim, 15 shekel, and right, 15 shekel hamaneh. So the maneh is equal to the combination of all these items: 20 shekel, 25 shekel, and 15 shekel, which equals basically 60 shekel. A maneh equals 60 shekel. Yelachem. So that maneh will be for you 60 shekel. So Gemara wants to understand this. How could it be that 60 shekel is a maneh? Why Chezkel broke it down into these units? Again, is a subject that Tosos, the Rabbeinu Tam, suggests. It's a nice explanation that these were measures. These were fixed measures that they used in their time. He says that they were a quarter maneh, half a maneh, and a third of a maneh, depending on which maneh you were using, whether it's maneh kodesh or not. So he says these were fixed measures, and that's why Chezkel divides them that way. Right now, the Gemara says, wait a minute. He says, the Gemara says, maneh matayim v'arbaim avu. What are you talking about? A maneh is, right, is 240. Because if you take a shekel is worth 4 dinar. Shekel is worth 4 dinar, then if I take 60 shekel, I have 240, right, dinarim. And a maneh is only supposed to be, right, 100. That's exactly what the term of a maneh is. What? Yeah, there's a question on Yechezkel. How could it be that you're equating 60 shekel with a maneh if, right, a maneh would equal 100 zuz? 100 zuz, right, is 100 dinar. And over here, if you take 60 shekel and each shekel is worth 4 dinar, then you're getting 240 zuz or 240 dinar. So how could you have something that's 100 and Yechezkel is saying it's worth 240 is worth 100? Doesn't match up. Doesn't work. So now the Gemara says, Shmani Natzlat. The Gemara says three things. One, Shmani Na Shahakodesh Kaful Haya. The maneh, Shmani Na, that the maneh of Kodesh is two times. So that solves part of the problem because that gets you to 200 dinarim. That we know that all coinage or all measures in Ekdesh, the coinage of Ekdesh is worth two times what the common coinage of the day is. So if you're talking about Shkodim, if you're talking about a maneh of Hekdesh, a maneh of Hekdesh is not worth 100 dinar, it's really worth 200 dinar. So that gets rid of a lot of the problem, but we still have the, right, the other part of the problem, which is the, right, the 40 dinar on top of that. So what, how do you deal with that? Ushmamina, the next thing is that, Musifim alamidot, ben Musifim yoter mishtut. Right, so first of all, the only real conclusion is that you're allowed to be Musif alamidot. That emosim yoter mishtut is not, it's just a side conclusion of this. But the real thing that you learn from is that you're allowed to be Musif on the midot. So how much were they musif on the midot? The answer to that is from mina shtuta min lebar. They did it from a shtut min lebar. They did it from the outside, which is basically what the, if you take again all these things, whenever you use a shtut is 1/6. Always a 1/6 can either be 1/6 or shtut min lebar means 1/5. It's always if you take the denominator and subtract one from it, you'll get what's called the shtut min lebar, which is that the total that you add afterwards is equivalent to the addition of the additional part afterwards is 1/6. Now, how do you get this? So I got today in a modern, what we would say, what's the real, how many shekel in chol should be, right, a maneh? That would be 25 shekel. 25 shekel is 4 dinar to the shekel, will get you 100 dinar. So really, 25 shekel should equal up to a maneh. So now, what do we say? We say that they added on a sixth. They add on a sixth to that, right? That increase is really 1/5. So you take 1/5 of 25, and you add it on, you get to 30. So now, 30 shekel now became the new denomination, right? 30 shekel became the new denomination, and that's why you get up to what that would give you. 30 shekel will give you 120 dinar, right? 120 dinar is now what's contained within this quote-unquote maneh. So now, obviously the dinar is staying fixed in this issue, right? So now it's 120 dinar equals up a maneh. Now, if I take kodesh, and I say kodesh is 2 times that amount, so 30 times 2 is 60 shekalim, and 2 times 120 dinar is 240 dinar. So that's what the Gemara's conclusion is, that we have the three conclusions from your teachers. Number one, that maneh kodesh is double maneh of chol. Number two is when they were mosif on the chol, they were mosif one shtut. When they added on, they went from 25 shekalim to 30 shekalim, and once they did that, right, they did it. We know it's a shtut milabar, because go from 25 to 30 is really 1/5, right? But so we're calling it a shtut, they're calling it a shtut milabar.
1/6 of the 30.
Right, 1/6 of the 30, exactly, which is called a shtut milabar. So that's the source for Shmuel. Again, in the end, right, that being the source of Shmuel, all it tells you is that we don't worry about the merchants. That's basically the conclusion. The puzzle tells you that we don't worry about the merchants in that short period of time. We make sure that they're break even.
We don't worry about them more than 1/6.
Right. We don't worry about them any more than being break even. We don't want them to lose money, but we don't ensure that they're profitable during that period of time. We just make sure they don't lose money. That's what the puzzle teaches you. Okay. Rav Papa Bar Shmuel talking kaila bar tlata kvize. Rav Papa Bar Shmuel establishes a kaila, which is really three kvize. What this is either a kvize is either a 3 log, right, and therefore he made something that was a 9 log unit, or, right, there are others that say it's just that each one's a log, and he made a 3 log unit, right, he made either a 3 log unit, which is, so 3 times that would be 3 log, or he made a 9 unit. What are you doing here? That you're increasing the midot more than a shtut. Because that if you're taking this kailo or this tfizah, you make him something that's 9. Where did he get that from? What was the, right, what was the unit that he was increasing on it from him? He was bringing it up from a chatzi tarkav, or a chatzi ahin. Right, he was bringing up a chatzi tarkav or a chatzi ahin, which is really 6 log. Right now he's bringing it up to 9 log. So that's bringing it up. That's significant. He's bringing it up, right, a third, right, by a third over there. So why is he bringing it up so much? So I'm a little ana kaila chadarata tekine. Says, listen, this is a totally new measure. I'm not increasing the old measure. I'm bringing in something that's totally new. So now,
yeah.
Oh, so that's not necessarily true. So the Rashi says no. So he says that ein ba'ir azot midah acheret. He says there aren't other. The Rashi reads that there are no other measurements in the city in order to increase it. So therefore, there's no hefsed here. There will be no differential in the measurements, won't cause any problem. And therefore, I'm introducing this quantity, because otherwise, in this city has no chatzi tarkav, and it doesn't have a tarkav. So it won't be with 12, and 6 would be the two sides of it. They don't have either of those, so there are no mistakes that can be made. There's nothing close to it. And therefore, I'm introducing something totally new. So he says, Shadre the Pumpadita Vloka Blua. He sent it over Pumpadita, they were not interested in this new measurement. And then Shadre the Papa Mi'ai sent to this city, Vikablua, and they accepted it. Garle Rose Papa. They called it either Rose Papa or the other Girsa in the Mesos HaShas is that they called it a Dungar or Don Papa. That this is the Papa's measurement. Meaning that they created something and they named it after him. That this was the Papian, right, 9 log measure, or the other, maybe it was 3 log measure. Right, Tarabanan, Otsre Perot, Umalvi Beribit, Umaktine Efam, Umafkie Sharim Alema Katuv Omer. So these are all people who are causing problems. They do something that causes pricing issues or cheating in some way. Pasuk says to them, Lemar, Matai Yavora Chodesh, Vinashbira Hashever. When will this month pass that we'll be able to break out that which we stored, Bashabbat? Right, the Niftecha Bar or the Shemitah will pass and will open up the storehouses. Latine Fa will reduce the measures. Uladil Shekel, or will increase the coinage. Ulaveik Mosnei Mirma, and to cause cheating within measurements. So this is these people. Hashem is speaking about these people who do such things. He says about on Nishba Hashem Gaon Yaakov, Imeshkach Lanetzach Kol Maaseihem. I will never forget what they have done, and I will bring the proper punishment for these people. So now, how does the pasuk relate to each one of these items? So with Mafkiyei Sharim are people who cause the market price to go up. They're basically people say, when will this month pass, and we can sell at higher prices. I mean that at the harvest, the prices are cheapest, and as you move away from the harvest, the prices go up. So these people are, right? These people are people who are Mafkiyei Sharim. They push pricing up. They cause pricing, either because they raise prices, right away, they raise prices, or because they corner the market, they cause pricing to go up. Now, the next one is Otsrei Peirot. The Otsrei Peirot are people who are, right, people who store. I mean that they come to Shemitah, and they can open up which they stored for a long time, and they can, sell it at much higher prices. So these are people, Otsrei Peirot, they're people who corner the markets, right, in order to cause pricing to go up later on, and they cause huge losses to the Aniyim. Because they cause losses to the Aniyim, because the Aniyim can no longer buy. The Aniyim don't have money to buy the store for the future. They have to buy at market. So when in they go around, they can buy at market. Now, they're going to have to wait and they have to buy from these people on much higher prices later on. Alright, that's, the next one is to, the Haktin. Haktin is to reduce the measurements. That's Maktini Eifa that's mentioned here. Like Dio Shekel, he considers the people who lend with rebeat, because you don't make the coin bigger, literally, but rather your coins get bigger because you're lending with interest. Right, and then the last thing, which is, I think, is Mosnei Mirma, which is a Onat Mishkalot, is cheating with any of the measurements. So all these people Hashem does not like. So now Gemara says, Otsrei Peirot Kunon Man. Who is an Otsrei Peirot? Gemara says, Amri Yochanan Kikon Shabtai Otsrei Peirot. There was a guy known as Shabtai Otsrei Peirot. Like him, that's a problematic type of person. This is a person who goes ahead and corners the market, buys up large quantities at the Goren, and then saves them to sell later at much higher prices. So he's basically speculating or buying early on, not for his needs, but speculating and buying for later on. Now this person, Shabtai Otsrei Peirot, is actually mentioned in the Gemara in Yoma. Story there with Rabbi Yochanan in the Gemara in Yoma about a woman on Yom HaKippurim. A woman on Yom HaKippurim is pregnant, is allowed to eat for sakanat if she reaches a point of sakanat nefashot, reaches bumus. So the Gemara over there says that lo chashim be ozna, you whisper in her ear, hayom Yom Kippur. Today, before you let her eat, you whisper to her and say, Yom is Yom Kippur. So that maybe that will affect the ubar that's in her stomach. So over there, the Gemara tells two stories. One in which the woman listened, right, and did not eat because of what was missing in her ear, and one in which she did eat, even though she was whispering in her ear. Out of the one who listened was born Rabbi Yochanan, and out of the one who did not listen was born this young individual, Shabtai Otsrei Peirot. So he was born out of that person, but the idea being that he wasn't quelled, or the desire of the Ubar was not quelled by that fact that it was Yom Kippur, and therefore Rasha was born out of that situation. So the Gemara says that that's inappropriate. The Rashbam qualifies this and says that this is all where a person is doing it in order to speculate or to know that he's going to sell to others the more unfortunate or less fortunate later on. If a person simply taking for their own family, buys to Otsir for their own family, that's not a problem. To buy for your family, to store for the future, that's okay. That's what you need. That's your need. To buy in order to sell in the future, meaning that to speculate into the future, that is not allowed. So, avu adishmo mezavin lehu the peri betara charafa ketara charafa. So, tara charifa. That Shmo's father used to sell into the market. At the time of the market price, he would ensure that the market didn't go up. He would keep the market prices stable by selling in there and making sure there was plenty of supply at that price, not allow the market price to go up at the time of the going. Shmuel Barayim Mishai Leperu, Mizayim Lo Betara Afela Ketara Charifa. Or what basically he did was Shmuel used to wait, and he used to buy up stuff at the Goren, and then when it came to the later, when prices had gone up, he would sell them into the market at the original prices. He'd sell them at the prices that he had bought them at, or I don't know, maybe a sixth above him, he would make a very small profit. He would sell them into the market at those lower prices. So the Gemara says, Shochu mitam tava abba midabra, that the father is better than the son. Why? My time atara derabach rabach. So this is a very interesting concept. The Gemara says that what Shmuel's father did was better than Shmuel. Even though, truthfully, Shmuel's father was just selling in at the market at that time, he wasn't necessarily taking a loss, he was just keeping the market price stable and not allowing it to go up. On the other hand, Shmuel was actually buying something now where he could have profited in the future, and he sells it back at the original price, or maybe at a small profit, and keeps the prices down. So Gemara says, you know why he's better? It's because he keeps the original prices. Prices build on the year. There's a base price. The base price is the price at the Goren. As you move away from the Goren, prices increase steadily from the Goren. So if you keep the Goren price down, that keeps the base upon which the pricing of the whole year is built, keeps it down. So it's more important to keep the pricing, the original pricing down, than it is to, right, later on try to bring down the pricing. The Gemara says it's sticky. Pricing is sticky.
The Rambam says by Shmuel, not that he bought it at the...
No, he would save his stuff. You're right. Save his stuff.
Because if he were buying... buying up and be like hoarding, that would cause a lot of
money. Right, so there, the Rashman qualifies and says, is okay. The Rashman says that is actually okay. To buy it up in the market price, even though you'll cause some increase in the market price, at the market to sell it back to the Neem later on, that is permitted, even though you cause some increase
right.
in the price.
And he just says that that's not what Shmuel
did. Right, no, Shmuel did not do that. You're right. Thank you for correcting me. Shmuel actually sold his own produce. He waited a month into the... Right, and he sold his own produce in there at the original pricing. But the Gemara is saying that pricing, which is basically a concept, you notice how price increases happen very fast.
That the prices stay low
is better than trying to lower them later on, which is the basically stickiness of pricing. Prices always go up fast. They come down much slower. I mean, that you have that with oil or gas. Right? Gas prices move up very fast as the increase in oil prices go up. When they're coming down, they're much stickier, and they come down at a much slower rate than they went up. And that's true here, too, that the stickiness of pricing, therefore, you want to keep the prices low to start with. Samarav, Oseh Adam et Kabo, Otzer. Person can make his kav a Otzer. I mean, that which he needs. Kabo means his own produce, what he needs, his own harvest, he's allowed to put into the Otzer. So Tanei Namiach, whoever price it was, in Otzrim Perot, you're not allowed to be Otzer Perot in order to store them to sell them later on at higher prices. Devarim Sheish Ben Chayei Nefesh. What is that about? It's only about things, items that people are necessities, bare necessities, requirements, Gonyenot, Shmanim, Siltot, all basic items that people use. You see here, which is also true, not like today, but Yayin was a very essential part of their diet. Not considered here today, it would be considered a luxury good, versus in their day where Yayin was considered to be a basic necessity. About Tavlin, comes to spices, Kimon, Upil, Palim, right, then is mutar. Over there you can store them because those aren't classified as basic necessities. But that's only when you're buying out in the open market. Then you can only store items that are not basic necessities. If you want to take your harvest, stick it into your silo, that's your choice, that's your prerogative. You don't have to sell it into the open market. Mutar la'adam le'atzur perot v'eretzio gimushanim. And eretzio, you're entitled to actually store for 3 years. When is that? That's when you go in the sixth year. In the sixth year, you're allowed to put into your storehouses for 3 years because you need for Erev Shvi'it, you need for Shvi'it, and you need for Motzei Shvi'it. You need produce for 3 years. So since you need produce for 3 years, you're allowed to store in eretzio. Once you hit the Erev Shvi'it, you're allowed to store at that point for 3 years in order that you have what you need. When it comes to years that are famine, you can't even store a kav charuvim. You can't store anything because you cause market. We want to keep the market prices as low as possible during this, so we don't want any price gouging. We don't want people hoarding, basically. So we don't want people hoarding during a famine. So in order to prevent people from hoarding during a famine, we say you can't store anything. You got to push everything out into the. You got to put everything into the market.
Even Mishael.
Mishalot means yes, even of your own produce, but not what you need for your family. I would differentiate between that. You can keep what you need for your family. Right, but Mishalot, which we had before, is a heter to be store that you don't have to sell automatically right into the market. Here, the Gemara says you have to sell into the market right away, and you can't store it if it's not necessary for your family. Alright, so now, Amar le Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Chanila Puga Shamei, said to Puga, his servant, Pok Atzer li Perish Lo Shanim, go out and bring me, you know, store up food for me for 3 years. Erev Shvi'it, Shvi'it, the Motzei Shvi'it. So he was living in Eretz Yisrael. The Rashbam says that he must have thought that Kedusha Rishona was Kitcha Leshatav and Kitcha Latin Dabo, and therefore there was Kedusha Daritz that Shvi'it was still the Oraisa. If Shvi'it was the Oraisa, then he would have stored it for 3 years. That's why he was storing it, that's why he was keeping Shvi'it. At that point in time, and since he was keeping Shvi'it at that point in time, therefore he told his servant to go out and collect for 3 years. You know, we'll stop here and we'll do the Eretz Yisrael Gemara's tomorrow. All right.